would like to greet you this morning in Jesus' precious name. And thank you for that song. Every time I think of the cross, I think of, well, we think of Jesus, of course. But I think, most of all, you know, what the cross means to us. And years ago, I had the message on the cross, and the acronym was consistently reflecting our Savior's spirit. And that's a full-time job, to bear the cross of Christ. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we pause before you again with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for the love you've shown to us in so many ways. We pray especially right now that you might bless this message. We ask that you might lead me by your Spirit to be able to say truths that would draw us all closer to you and to each other. We pray that we would empty ourselves and be willing to fill ourselves with your Spirit so that you can receive the honor and glory. We pray right now especially for Conrad and Katie. We pray that you might bless them as they are going through this physical issues. We pray that you might give them physical and spiritual healing so that you can receive the honor and glory which you're worthy of. We also pray for John and Deb and the girls. We pray that you might give them wisdom. We thank you for blessing us with the extra time you have blessed him with. We pray that you might help us to realize the importance of life so that we can bring glory to your name. Yes, in Christ's name. Amen. My mind went first to Hebrews. I would like to just read a verse here or two. And we know that the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him. And in chapter 11, in verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in the strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. With that, I want to turn to, in Genesis, there's a scripture here that kind of echoes Abraham. And it goes like this. This is over the time when God came to Abraham to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, and God says this, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord to do justice, judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The title this morning is Intentional Grandparents. And I will be first to tell you that I do not feel I have all the answers. I know I don't. Studying this has given me a realization that I have a lot of room for improvement. And the thing that stands out to me most in this study is, where's God? Where's God in my life? Where's God in your life? Now, before we go down this trail of intentional grandparenting, I want to do a little bit of a quiz. Art, close your eyes. All right, children, I have a question for you. How many appreciate art? Raise your hand. How many appreciate art? All right. All right, now, how many don't appreciate art? Okay, I had to add that. I had to put that in there. All right, you can close open your eyes. It was a landslide, by the way.
Which one?
The first one. But the reason I point that out is
Art's not a grandparent, technically. Technically, he's not a grandparent. But he has a lot of influence. He has impressed a lot of children that aren't his children, but they are his children. You follow what I'm trying to say? And when we go through this morning, I would like you to understand, regardless where you are, whether you're married, unmarried, single, great-grandparent or grandparent, this applies to each one of us. None of us are exempt from what we like to look at. I would like to read some portion of Scripture to give us a foundation. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy, actually, before I get into it, I always jump ahead of myself, but I'd like to help you understand the word intentional. And I came across this information, and I thought I'm going to read it. It says, what does it mean to be intentional? When it comes to living a life of intention, it means being purposeful and deliberate in everything you do. It means setting aside time for what matters most to you and making choices that align with your values and goals. It's about creating a life that feels good to you rather than the one that just happens to you. You don't just let life happen. It takes purpose. You have an intention. And if you're not sure where to start, begin by taking some time to reflect on what you want your life to look like. What's your core values? What kind of person do you want to be? What do you want to accomplish? Once you have a closer sense of your intentions, start making small changes in your daily life that will help you move closer to your goals. Being intentional has a number of benefits. It can help you lead a more satisfying life, achieve your goals, build stronger relationships, plus it can reduce stress and improve your mental and physical health. If you're looking to make some changes in your life, start by being more intentional about your choices. You may be surprised at how much of a difference it can make. One of the best ways to be more intentional in your life is to live each day with purpose. Ask yourself, what do you want to accomplish that day, and make a plan to make it happen. When you approach each day with that intention, you will find that your life is becoming more rewarding and satisfying. And we all have that choice. You can have the choice of just letting life go on, or you can say, Lord, I want you first. Where is God in your life? And looking back in my life, as a teenager, I chose God. And the reason I chose God is because I lived with a couple that I saw the love of God flow in their life. You don't know my history in some respects, but I've shared a little bit here and there. But I lived with John and Rubaker. You probably don't know them. But they were a young couple. They only had two children. They would have loved to have a big family, but God didn't allow that. But they loved each other to the point where I saw the love of Christ in their life. And I wanted what they had because they loved God. And to me, I don't think they realized the full effect it had on my life. But my cry is, what are you holding on to? What are you reflecting? Are you putting God first in your life? All right. Intentional grandparenting. I would like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to begin reading just two verses here, 9 and 10. They read like this. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Hebron, Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of that they may shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. the thing that stood out to me is, take heed unto thyself. That is one of the most important things. How many have flown in an airplane? Okay, remember the protocol they do up the front, you know, not that you want to have a wreck or a plane crash, but they always go through their procedures. This is what you do. And, you know, when the masks fall down, what's the first thing you're supposed to do? Put yours on, right? You're supposed to take care of yourself. And this is what this verse is saying. Take heed unto thyself. You must first take care of yourself before you're going to be able to help anybody else. All right, let's go to chapter 6 on Deuteronomy. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. It reads like this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye may do them in the land whither thou go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. Implying that our lives should be living and reflecting God in every aspect. You know, when we're eating, when we are sleeping, when we are playing together, when we're working together, when we're traveling together, just the list goes on and on. Do our children see who we really are? And they will see it. Like we have said over and over, more is caught than taught. I asked a lot of people in the last little while, especially asked grandparents. I said, what do you think of intentional grandparenting? And, you know, some of the responses were like this. I mean, it was like deer in the headlights. They said, what do you mean? They don't know. And I said, it means what purpose? What do you have plans for your, you know, children or whatever? And it was interesting of the different responses that I got from those different questions. Anyway, I would like to just go down. I'm going to just give you a little bit of a thought what I'm sharing in regards to what we just read. Says, I said, take heed to yourself. We need to live and walk with God. Why? Lest we forget, lest we fall, lest we depart. And why? For that purpose is so that we can teach our children and our children's children. And so it says, what are we to do? It says, read God's word. Read God's word. And in that portion, we need to read it to ourselves and to our children. We have to live and share truth to them. The children need to learn to reverence and fear God. That was one of the purposes that we read. And also, the reason for that is so that they can teach their children. I talked to one brother, and I asked him, I said, do you pray for your children? That's every day, and I pray for my children every day, and I pray for my grandchildren. And this brother shared with me, he says, yeah, he said, he has a friend of his, He said, he's working on the 10th generation, praying for them. And I'm like, okay, that was a little bit too far for me. But, I mean, I thought it was enough trying to take care of the current. But he was saying that there are people who are determined to make sure that generation after generation after generation stays with God. And I was blessed by that. So the question I was thinking here, the thought was that, you know, are we all in with God? That is my cry. That is my heart. And do the people around us see that? Do our children see that? And do our grandchildren see that? I'd like to point out some thoughts in 2 Timothy 1:5. Turn to that. And the question that I'm asking here is the importance of us as individuals, as grandparents, what's so important. 2 Timothy, I'd like to begin reading 1 verse 5. It says, no wonder I was in 1 Timothy. That didn't make sense. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm a controversial here, but I was trying to think, where's grandpa? I mean, it's mother and grandma here, but I didn't see anything about grandpa, and that stood out to me because, go ahead.
Doesn't Paul talk, I think, in Acts that his father was a Greek, like he wouldn't have been a godly man, perhaps?
That might be it. But the fact that in this portion is the mother and the grandmother had so much influence and so much impact, and the thing that the importance of as grandparents, we need to be able to pass on the faith. That's our cry. That's our heart. And we talked about Abraham. He was a man of faith. And God knew his heart. He knew that he would teach his children and his children after him. And it went back to his faith in God. And the question I ask sometimes, do we have that faith? Do I really have that faith that Abraham had? What if God would speak to you one night and say, okay, I want to go to Australia. You know, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out as a curveball. But Abraham knew this is what God told him to do, and he was going to do it because he believed God. So my question is, do we believe God? When God talks to us, do we believe him? The second thing is Psalms 92, the importance of getting old, or our place. Psalms 92, I'd like to read two verses here, 13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of God of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish. I'm not here saying that old people should be fat, but I am here to say that we are to bring forth fruit. We are to bring forth fruit for God's glory. That's our purpose. Then, and the thing, if you notice that first verse says, they were planted in the house of the Lord. That's what gave them their ability to flourish and to be fruitful, because they were planted in the house of God. Now, Titus 2, there's a verse here I'd like to read. Titus 2:1-5 reads like this. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and that the word of God be not blasphemed. So in other words, We as older people are to be an example of the truth. We need to have truth so embedded in us that it just comes out. Our lives reflect it. The other one I thought about is the advantage of being older grandparents. When Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, that was one of the things he did to his grandchildren. He blessed them. And if you remember the story, he had his hands crossed, and Joseph was like, no, 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 no. He said, and Jacob said, yes, the younger is getting the greater blessing. And I thought that was kind of interesting. So, you know, God gave Jacob the wisdom for that. Now, you know I am an acronym person. And this was kind of a challenge for me because it was too big. But I'm hoping you can bear with me. And this is what I if you skip everything else, I'm hoping you can remember these, because remember what I said, it applies to everybody and to you, Art. What makes a person a good grandparent? They need to be godly, like we said up here. This is paramount in a person's life. Another thing that helps a grandparent is to be a good grandparent. They are respectful. And that is being kind, being humble, and having good manners. In other words, another good grandparent is being available. How many here feel like time kind of gets away from you? At least for me it is. But giving our grandchildren, giving them time, giving them information, talent, you know, what we know, what we have to give to them. Another characteristic of a good grandparent, and that is they are a nurturer. And a nurturer is someone who provides protection. They provide encouragement. They try provide. They have understanding. They're not someone that's gonna, you know, kick you out the door right away. Another factor that I see is that one of the greatest things we as grandparents is take time to listen. Listen to someone. I'm afraid some of us have been brought up with the idea of we lecture. And lecturing can do more damage than good from the standpoint you want to hear what your grandchildren are saying. You want to understand what they're facing. So just you need to ask that. You need to be a good listener. The other thing for a good grandparent, you need to be able to be directing them. And I thought about this already. There's a tendency in us men to just cut it to the chase and say, well, you gotta do this. And as you mature, you realize one of the best ways to get into a child's mind is to, when you bend them, you slowly direct them, you give them some coaching ideas, but you need to have that relationship so that they will listen to you. And if you don't have that, you're not gonna go anywhere. So these all tie together. We know that the greatest thing for a grandparent, they need to be a praying grandparent. And that is in 1 Timothy 2:8. I like to read that. It says this. I will that men everywhere pray, everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. the thing that I wrote down here in regards to the idea of lifting up holy hands, when we are crying out to God in prayer, we are surrendering. We are giving ourselves to God when we have a true praying relationship with God. And it says lifting up holy hands. I'm going to my acronyms again, but holy is being honest and humble, obedient, loving, and yielding to God. And we need to lift up those holy hands so that our grandchildren can see that we are totally dependent, totally surrendered to what God wants. They can see that. Another thing that grandparents need to be, and that is they need to be appreciative. And that sounds a little, this is a little bit of a hard one for me, but I began to realize the importance being thankful. Having an attitude of gratitude will give you altitude in life. We've said that over and over again. But our grandchildren need to be able to see that. They need to see that we have a life of an attitude of gratitude, knowing that God's in control. We want to thank God and just have that spirit. Another attribute or sorry. What?
Yeah.
Maybe the batteries are bad. I have no idea. Well, I'll come back to this. Being a reinforcer of truth. Now, that is, we need to be able to have a life that helps our children, our grandchildren, see that, you know, we stand behind truth. We live behind truth. Because if we don't have that foundation, they're not going to be able to find truth themselves. And they're going to lose their way. A good grandparent is going to have an example of Jesus Christ, or I should say, reflect. I mean, it's like this. You heard the other day about when the children heard their dad said, "Praise the Lord!" And they said, "Well, what broke now?" The children knew their dad so well that they knew that when he said, "Praise the Lord," something broke. And to me, our grandchildren should be able to see when things happen, they're watching. You know, how do you respond? In other words, what words come out of your mouth? What actions do you have? I mean, I'm hoping nobody here throws something across the room or something stupid like that. Because when a person is born again, they are controlled by the Spirit of God, and they need to, you know, let the Spirit work in their life and not let the Adamic nature take over. The other word, we've said this before, a good grandparent is noble. And it's a word we don't use very often. It's an older word. But noble means qualities of being honest, generous, courageous, morally good. I mean, a person, a grandparent needs to be noble. Also, a grandparent is to be a teacher. And being a teacher, in Ephesians 6:4, there's a verse. It reads like this. It says, "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That sounds a little bit out of touch with the teacher aspect, but the reason why I put that in there is, how many here know of people who say one thing and do another? Let me read this verse again. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." In other words, you need to say what you mean and mean what you say. Otherwise, you're going to have children and grandchildren that have no respect for truth or you. And so we need to be living truth in us, having God in us to the point where we respond correctly. When things go south, when you hit your thumb or whatever, don't say things or do things that are going to have a bad effect on those that are watching. The the one I forgot here. Parents, grandparents, S, they're selfless. They're selfless individuals. And I would like to read Philippians. There's a couple of verses here I'd like to read. In Philippians chapter 2, they read like this. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, looking not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." My cry, my plea, is that we would carry out being godly, being respectful, being available to our children, being a nurturer, being directing, praying, appreciating, being thankful, being a reinforcer of truth, being an example, reflecting Jesus, being noble, being honest, being humble, being a teacher, selfless. And being a teacher, it takes patience, and it also takes time. And this thing of passing on the faith, or our belief in God, our love for God, is not a switch. It's a long-term process that we all must realize. So I'd like to just recap a little bit here. Cultivating a faith into two or more generations. Are we doing that? Are we cultivating this faith? Are we telling the successive generations about the work and wonders of the Lord, what he's done for you? Are you sharing that? Being a model on how to obey God's word, am I being that? Teaching and training children and grandchildren in the way of the Lord, leaving a physical and spiritual inheritance. Proverbs 13:22, it says that we leave an inheritance to our children's children. Leaving a legacy for a generation that we will not meet. Are we going to leave a legacy to a generation that we'll never see? I was talking to a brother last evening, and we were talking about age, time. And it seems like the tendency is for people not to get married until they're in their mid or upper 20s. My wife and I got married when we were 21. I'm thankful we did. But I think the Bible says that it's good to bear your children in your youth. That's another story. But if people wait till they're in their 30s and start having children, can you see where the parents see the gap that starts? And the potential of seeing their great-grandchildren is going to be very slim. I think when we were married, great-grandpa still lived, right? Yeah. And so I could meet great-grandpa, not just grandpa. It was great-grandpa. And, you know, I don't know how many here have their great-grandpas living, but it's a privilege. You might want to just double-check, talk to them, find out what they have learned or what they've gone through life. So leaving a legacy. A legacy is something left behind. It could be love, respect. And our legacy should be Godward. So the question I like to ask the question is, so what do people see in our life? Whether we're grandparents, whether we're single, married or not married, am I reflecting, am I living out what God wants us to live out? Next Sunday, I have a assignment for everybody. I'm hoping next Sunday that we can perhaps get a little more practical. And I'm not going to be able to come with all the answers. I'm counting on Les to help me out a little bit. I think he has more grandchildren than I do. But here's some questions I want you to think about. I want you to write down sayings that your grandparents shared with you. Write down what your grandparents shared with you. Or truths that your grandparents taught you. And we'd like to look at the practical aspects of what grandparents should and shouldn't do. Because I think there are some things that grandparents shouldn't do. So hopefully we can learn from that. I want to thank you for your prayers, and I pray that you might continue to pray that what is said and done would bring glory to God. There is a song that I was half thinking it applies to everybody. I think it's in the Christian hymnal. Not the hymnary, the Christian hymnal. I think it's 442. May God bless us all.